Happy Easter. I was thinking of a compelling story to tell for this Easter season. I searched and I searched. I couldn't come up with one. I almost wanted to give up. But then I remember, what can be more compelling than the story of Easter? He arose from the dead with a mighty power to overcome Satan and sin. He rose. He's alive today. Then I was reading the passage of Scripture, the Gospel of Mark. And I read words that puzzled me. Would you read with me these words? Together, as they, three ladies, entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they had laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Mary Magdalene went and told these things who had seen with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Can you believe these words? Alarmed, trembling, bewildered, afraid, weeping, mourning, did not believe it. This is happening to the disciples who had been with him for 3 long years. They walked with him. They followed him everywhere. As they saw him perform miracles, they saw him heal the sick, they saw him preach the marvelous word of the kingdom of God. For 3 years, they lived with this Jesus. And what happened at this point? Their hearts were full of sorrow. It is as if the tomb was closed and the heart was buried in there at the same time. I can think of one reason, and that is when they were on earth, they followed Jesus, whom they think was the earthly Messiah. What does that mean? At that time, they were under the harsh rule of the Roman Empire. They were longing for freedom. They were hoping for a Messiah that would deliver them. They were looking, dreaming about the kingdom that they used to have under King David, under King Solomon. What richness, what prestige, what honor they all enjoyed. That's what they're looking for. They're hoping for Jesus will be that Messiah. But lo, they crucified him. He was powerless to resist that crucifixion. They buried him, sealed the tomb, and there was no more. Their heart was filled with sorrow, sadness, hopelessness. That was what they felt. There was one young man. One young man by the name of John. I think he's about your age, young people. His heart was tender. His mind was open. He saw and he believed. He was the only one that believed at that time. The older folks I'm sorry, they're slow in grasping the facts. They did not understand. Their mind was still buried in that tomb, whereas they should be so full of delight, so full of joy that Jesus has risen. Well, happily, it did not stay that way for long. It did not stay that way for long. Jesus appeared to them. Jesus went, and this doubting Thomas, he said, I won't believe until I really touch him. So I will have to touch his nail-pierced hand. It's right there. And I think I will have to touch the sword-pierced side. So this picture depicts that doubting Thomas was putting his finger in there. He felt it. And then he said, my Lord, my God. You are my God. You are the real Christ. And very happily, the other disciples didn't stay that way either. They were all transformed. Their life changed. And they believed what they have heard before. In fact, they turned around. They went to preach. They remembered the words that Jesus said. They remembered the Old Testament scriptures. They begin to teach, to quote the scriptures boldly. Fear was completely gone from them. And their life was even endangered, but they have no fear. They went to testify that the prophecy in the Old Testament was completely fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment. He is the Messiah. Such a great transformation. Such a great change. It was really hard to believe. In the very end, in fact, many of them died a martyr's death because of their faith. And those others that did not die, they were scattered abroad all throughout Asia and Europe. And they begin to preach the gospel. So this is the transformation process that took place. What is this cause of this life-changing transformation? What is the reason for their faith to be suddenly 180-degree turn? I want you to read the first few verses of Mark 16. Let's read it, this part. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on the way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. The stone has been rolled away. These ladies, they went there with full intention to see a dead body. They brought spices. The purpose of using the spice is to preserve that dead body for a slightly longer period of time. That's what they were expecting. And they were wondering in their heart, who is going to roll that great big stone away from the tomb so that we could get in? To their surprise, the stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away. Jesus was not in there again. Jesus had risen. The dark tomb is now full of life, full of bright light. This has been the change that brought about. Isn't it amazing that today you and I can experience the same transformation? If there was a big stone in our heart, it can also be rolled away. The same change that has happened to these disciples can change, can happen to each one of us today. He is risen. That's the key word. That's the thing that transformed them. That's the word, the three words, He is risen, has changed the course of history. Men and women of the first day who has gone to preach the gospel, they were empowered by God's Spirit. They caught a glimpse of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they went out. And throughout this 2,000 years that you and I have lived, we have not lived 2,000, but we have experienced a history of 2,000 years. We have seen the church was passing from one person to the next. They could be believers were added to the church. Now, there are literally millions and millions of Christians and thousands of church everywhere. How did it happen? How did this happen? It's because of transforming power in the life of these people. They were not afraid anymore. They went about. The worldwide transformation took place one person at a time. They said there's no grandchildren for Christian faith. There's only children. It must be passed on from one person to the other. And today we witness the Christian era where throughout this world the church has established. And this is because He is risen. He's no longer in the tomb. What does it happen? How does it happen into our lives? What happens when we're transformed? Do you experience a new face? Do you experience halos on your head? No, no. That's not the kind of external transformation. What transformation is inside? What's happening is in your heart. Those of you who go to school, you still have hard work. You still have that teacher or your parents who said, "Did you do your homework?" That won't change. But after your life has been transformed, there's a new perspective in your life. You want to do the best to honor your God, not to bring honor to yourself. Those of us that are older folks, you still have to go to work. Your office has not changed. Your table has not changed. You still have that computer. You still have the same boss who go after you. Work. Overtime. That hasn't changed. But now, after you become a Christian, you see the world in a different light. You want to honor God in your work. You want to please your master who is God, not this man. Your environment has not changed. You still have the harsh environment. Economy will still be bad. Those of you who have lost your job, you still have to go out seeking work. Those of you who are sick, you will not experience a healing right away. God will send His servants, the physicians, the medicine, to try to cure you. Your environment has not changed. Temptation will still come into your life. But what do you do now? You can face this world with Jesus at your side. Jesus will walk with you. Jesus will help you all the way along. And He carry you through the hardest moments. And He will keep you in peace. Your friends will not change. Young men, young ladies, you still will be subject to peer pressure. you still have the same nasty friends. They won't change. But now, your heart has changed. See, when you look at your friends, you think, God loves them too. God not only loved me, God loved them as well. God wants you to share the gospel with them. God wants you to be the witness to them. So that will be an entirely different thing, entirely different environment. And of course, your family will not change. You still have your dad and mom. You still have your children. There still will be conflict. And that will not diminish. Maybe diminish a little bit as you have a different attitude. But now you have learned to love. You have learned to forgive. Because of the power of God in your life, Christ has forgiven us of the gravest sin. And now we can forgive one another. Now we can love one another as He has loved us. That's the whole transformation process. It happens to each one of our lives. It happens to you and to me. Because now we live with our transformed heart. Our darkened heart now has the truth of the gospel of light. It will shed into our darkened heart. Whereas we live in sadness and hopelessness, God's peace is in us. God's joy lives in our hearts. This is the transformation. We still live in sinful world. Sin will continue to plague us. But now we live in sin. We have God's holiness as our standard. We have God's purity as our goal. We live each day to honor Him, to live in His holiness. And day by day, we become more like Him. That's God living in our hearts. And in the past, our life was meaningless. We chased after money, fame. We chased after empty things. The emptiness will be gone. Because God has given us a purpose. God has given us goal to live, to honor Him, to glorify His name. God has given a reason to live each day. And we can wake up every morning rejoicing in God. Now, all this experience I relate to you, not because that's what I feel, but because God's Word said that. The Apostle Paul, he himself experienced it. In his life, he experienced the same thing that I've just described to you. And in his book of Galatians 2:20, he stated this to us. This is what happened to him. What did he say? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul's experience. He has some 30 years of preaching, converted, and all his later life, all his 30 years of life after he's converted, he lived experiencing this verse. Christ lives in him. You know how much he had gone through in his life? He suffered so much. But he preached the gospel to the very end. And he also said this of you and me. Not only did he say about himself, he shared this verse with us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we should all memorize this verse. Let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, glorious verse for all of us. If anyone is in Christ, we are a new creation. We are a new creature. We are no longer the same sinful old self. We are a new creation. You and I can live this life when Christ has risen live in our hearts. I said I want to begin a story. I found a story. And I want to finish with this story. The Battle of Waterloo. Who was involved in the Battle of Waterloo? Wellington and Napoleon, or Wellington or Bonaparte. Wellington, of course, is English general, and Bonaparte of France. They were engaged in a severe battle in Waterloo. And during this battle, it's going to determine the future of England. If England loses to Bonaparte, then the whole texture of Europe would be changed. In those days, they do not have cell phone. They do not even have telegraph. And the condition, the status of the battle was going to be transformed by, I don't know if you Boy Scouts will know this, if I have a flag in my hand, there will be flag language. They transmit the result through flag language. And after the battle, the battleship comes into the English harbor. And Wellington transmits this message. The flagman of Wellington's part transmits this message. Wellington, defeated. And you know, England, the fog came in. And nobody could see the ship. Nobody could see the signal. And they only know that Wellington was defeated. England was filled with sadness. Oh, we lost the battle. But after a couple hours, the fog was driven away by the sun. And the signalman continued to signal. Wellington defeated the enemy. The whole England was rejoicing. They were victorious. Well, 2,000 years ago, the message to the people at first was, Christ defeated. Christ defeated the tomb. He was in the tomb. The lady come to embalm him with spice. He's dead, gone. But the stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away. He is alive. He lives forevermore. So you and I can go home rejoicing. Our life has been changed. Not for this day, not for this year, for eternity, until our earthly life is finished. Let us pray. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you because today you are alive. You live in our hearts. You live in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. We thank you for that glorious fact that is passed on to us through the Scripture. We are in you. If we are in you, we are a new creation. And we have the power to overcome Satan and sin, just as your resurrection power has been passed on to us. How great you are. Down from the grave, up from the grave you arose with a mighty triumph over your foe. You live forevermore. Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.